Welcome to Romancing the Saints with Pastor Gene Pensiero. We're glad you're joining us as we study verse by verse through books of the Bible, discovering God's extravagant love for His people. Now we pick back up in our verse by verse study through selected psalms.
I'm going to start a series within the series with Psalm 120. So open your Bible or navigate on your device. Follow along at transcript.calvaryhanford.com or whatever you want to do, but get to Psalm 120. It's a short psalm, but with a lot to teach us. The topic we're going to find there, the psalmist finds himself imperiled by liars and their lies. So the title of our message is, Gonna lie now, lying sly now, gonna lie, lie, lie. Rocky. Oh. Send me titles. Father, thank you so much for giving us this brief amount of time to study your word. We pray that it would be valuably spent with your Holy Spirit here to teach us and be our teacher, that you would communicate to us, Lord, that we were made to be loved by you, and that your love is a precious thing that we can always count on. And within that love is grace to sustain us and mercy, Lord, to draw us forward. And everything else we read about in your word. If there's someone here who has doubts about your love for them, I pray that you would put them in a situation where they'll put their doubts aside. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord, I pray, Lord, that that person would come to know you today in the quiet of his or her heart. Be with us, Lord, as we work through these verses. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Traveling is better with a playlist. You might create a playlist of your favorite artist or artists. Maybe your favorite songs by various artists. Or you might put together a playlist based on a theme or based on your destination. Let's say you're going on vacation. Star Trek fans will recall that before he would embark on the first successful warp flight, Zefram Cochrane insisted on playing Born to be Wild. When we first meet Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy, he switches on his Walkman to play Awesome Mix, Volume 1. When we are on our way to the happiest place on earth, we have a playlist of all the ride and attraction theme songs. Gets us ready, especially grim, grinning ghosts. There's just nothing quite as good as that. Well, maybe Soarin' Over California, but anyway. Or it's a Soarin' Over the World now, right? What an idiot. We should start over. Israel had a national playlist. They are the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 through 134. They received this title because the Israelite pilgrims sang them as they traveled from their homes all over the land and ascended to the temple in Jerusalem for the annual feasts. If you are in Christ, it should not come as a surprise that you are a pilgrim. You've either read that or somebody told you that. The Apostle Peter twice labels all believers pilgrims in his first letter. And the writer to the Hebrew Christians in chapter 11 identifies us with previous generations of pilgrims who are looking for the heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. Since we are fellow travelers, the Psalms of Ascent would make a great playlist for us too, as long as we keep them in context. And let's not forget that our Lord Jesus sang them many, many times in his incarnation as he would visit the temple. He did it in his epic journey from heaven to earth and then back to heaven. John Wayne once asked, "Think you can make it, pilgrim? The road's not easy. It's fraught with peril." When describing the road, the Apostle Paul wrote, "In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Yes, you can and will make it, pilgrim, because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, bringing you all the way home, despite the imperiled life that you live. I'll organize my comments around two points. Number one, you are imperiled by liars and lies. And number two, you can be impervious to liars and lies. Let's take a look, first of all, at our peril. Now, the Psalm of Ascents begin with the pilgrim describing a primary peril. It's in verse 2 where he says, lying lips and a deceitful tongue. My first reaction to that was, seriously? Lies and liars are the peril he was most concerned about. After reading that list from the Apostle Paul, all the terrible things that can befall us. But this puts it in perspective. In the Gospel of John, Jesus described the devil by saying he was a liar and the father of lies. It was his lying in the Garden of Eden that tempted Adam and Eve to overthrow the authority of God, thinking they would become like God. All of the disease and destruction and death that we experience on the earth today are the consequences of that liar telling that lie. In Revelation 12:9, the devil is called the deceiver of the whole world. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter says to a lying disciple, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" When the psalmist talks about liars and their deceitful tongues, he isn't only talking about people mistreating you. Sure, that's part of it. But he's talking about something far more sinister. The fact that demonic lies surround you on your pilgrimage. They are everywhere, literally. Maybe this will connect a little bit. Let's say you have conflict in your marriage. Well, it stems from the original lie that our parents believed in the Garden of Eden, that they could be like God. It brought sin into their lives. And you remember one of the first things that happened when God came to try and reconcile that situation is Adam blamed Eve. And they had some conflict. I wonder what happened. I'd like to hear that conversation after the Lord left. Hey, by the way, earlier, did I hear you say that it was my fault? Well, you said it was the devil's fault, so there. You idiot. No, that's... I'm sure they were more spiritual than that. The help, now listen, here's the problem, or the situation though, is the help you need for your marriage is going to be biblical truth, not another one of the devil's lies. And a lot of times people, you're out in the world, and maybe you're having marital problems, people do. And maybe you start sharing with somebody, and maybe that somebody's not a believer. They're not going to give you biblical advice. They're not going to tell you to endure or hang in there. Oh, they will for a while. But they'll reach their limit pretty quick and say, well, you know, divorce is an option. Everybody I know that's gotten divorced is super happy. And their kids are great. And so just be careful out there. The help you need for your marriage is truth, not lies. Today, the devil's lies have undermined biblical marriage. As we're fond of telling you, marriage is heterosexual and monogamous between one biological man and one biological woman. The obliteration of this standard is a major reason why human society all over the world is crumbling. So people get together and they say, we have problems. Problems in the inner city, problems in the suburbs, problems in organizations, problems here and there. What are we going to do? I would come as a Christian and say, well, the root of all these problems is the destruction of the nuclear family, not just the dissolving of it, but the absolute government assault against the nuclear family as defined in the Bible. Well, yeah, but we're never going to deal with that, so how are we going to deal with the problems? Well, I guess you're just going to put Band-Aids on your problems. Because this is how God structures a society, and if you want to build it some other way, it's just not going to work. This is how it's built. It has to have a foundation. Have you ever built something without a foundation? It doesn't last very long. And so that's why our societies are crumbling. Verse 1, a song of ascents. It's called that. They're all called that because any journey to Jerusalem is up. Because Jerusalem is on a hill. A song of ascents. In my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. The cry that the Lord heard was verses 2 through 7. It's the psalmist's prayer. In our distress, I'd wager most of us do go first to the Lord. We cry out to him. So I'm not going to be that person that says, why don't you go to the Lord? Well, I do. I'm sure you do too. You're Christians. You love the Lord. But it can be difficult to wait on the Lord. That's where the problems come in. That's when we might be tempted to seek a worldly solution or settle for non-biblical help. You need to develop a healthy caution and a patience in waiting. You need to do patient waiting for the Lord to work in your life. The psalmist knew that the Lord heard him. Jesus hears you the first time and every other time you cry out. This is a statement of spiritual contentment. You can be content and rest in the fact that God hears you. Any believer always has immediate access to the throne of God where he'll receive grace and mercy in time of need. And so this is a contentment. Lord, I prayed, I cried out, oh, I know you heard me. Nothing could keep you from hearing me. I'm glad that the keep calm craze is mostly over. Are you still using that? Keep calm and comb your hair. Keep calm and wear a mask. Keep calm and anything. Those things are funny, or they're intriguing the first 2,000 or 3,000 times. And then after that, you get tired of them. But if we were going to do one, we would do a keep content series. We would say, keep content and wait for Jesus. Psalm 120, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, this speaks to us on a few different levels. For one thing, we're reminded that on our pilgrimage, we will be distressed by other people, even by believers who lie to us and in that sense are liars. To put it simply, you will be hurt by others, and some of the wounds may never completely heal. Like Frodo, after he was stabbed by the Witch King of Angmar on Weathertop, it's a wound that will always hurt. For another thing, all of us could pray, Lord, keep me from having lying lips and a deceitful tongue. It's a given that you and I will also hurt others. You know, it's not just us that gets hurt. We are participants in hurting others as well. We don't want to do it, we don't mean to do it, but we do it. For a third thing, we could interpret these words as the psalmist asking the Lord to shield him from being interfered with or influenced by a world ruled by the devil that is full of liars and lies. Literally, this psalm is about the journey to Jerusalem, which is a picture of the journey to heaven, as it were, or the New Jerusalem, we would say. And the psalmist, at this point, there's really nothing positive in this psalm, but it's not a negative psalm. He's just describing the conditions before we get to heaven. We're in a fallen earth surrounded by lies that come from the devil, the father of lies, and so it's a dangerous place. Skip down to verse 5 for a minute. We'll come back. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Meshech was to the far north of Jerusalem. Kedar was in the south. This is the psalmist's way of saying from coast to coast. It was a lyrical way of saying that he was surrounded. We are on the earth in unredeemed bodies which still have propensities to sin. The world system as a whole is ruled by the God of this world. His lies, the doctrines of demons, assail us on every side, seeking nothing less than our total destruction on the road home. Now, the devil's assaults may be pleasant. We sometimes forget this. By that I mean the devil may offer you wealth or power or popularity. All we have to do is disobey Jesus, but just a little, and he'll forgive us anyway, won't he? And so the devil will come and he'll whisper these things in your ear, maybe not this plainly, but there will be things that are wonderful and seem positive and a blessing to you. But there's that still small voice of the Spirit holding you back, that check in your spirit. You somehow know that it's not the direction you ought to go. But there's a part of you that says, you know, goes back to the original lie in the garden and says, well, you know, maybe I'm going to be autonomous in this one. And so a lot of these things are missed because we always think that something bigger or seemingly better is better for us spiritually, and that's just not true. It can be, might be. Doesn't mean you can never leave your situation, get a new job, move out of Hanford or anything like that. But you need to be careful because a lot of times we're just following our own will and not the Lord's. If there's never been a time in your life when you had to turn something down that sounded like it would be better, and you did it for your family or for your church or for a ministry, that's what I'm talking about. The assaults might be Job-like, robbing you of family and health. Those are the ones we normally think of. The diagnosis that the doctor gives you and you think, what just happened? Or a friend, you get the phone call that somebody is gone. And, you know, those are the things that we think about the most. Those are, in one sense, I don't want to be insensitive, but they can be easier to deal with because at least you know for sure that they're evil. While we're on the topic of his liars, we could name the founders of every religion. Everything that is not biblical Christianity is a lie. And so the founders like Zoroaster and Siddhartha and Confucius, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, L. Ron Hubbard, Sun Myung Moon, and of course Ajunta Pal. He was the first Dark Lord of the Sith. Took me a while to research that out. It's hard to get into the history of the Sith, but anyway. That's the last joke in this list, unless something comes to me. All godless philosophies are lies propounded by liars. Nihilism, existentialism, stoicism, hedonism, Marxism, Taoism, rationalism, humanism, relativism, atheism, and any other isms that are not biblical Christianity. There is a seemingly endless list of lying psychotherapies: Gestalt, Freudian, behaviorism, Maslowian, psychodynamics, cognitive, etc., etc. They were proposed by godless men like Carl Rogers and B.F. Skinner and Sigmund Freud and Abraham Maslow. Following these liars and lies will lead a person not to spiritual contentment, but to a greater selfishness. There's a verse I use a lot. You've heard me use it a lot in our prayers here, our public prayers. It's that God can discern between the soul and the spirit. It's found in the book of Hebrews. No one else, nothing else, can discern between your soul and the spirit. And just think of it as a deep place in your heart, in your being, that only God can reach and only God can minister to. And so if you're laying on some Freudian couch or you're going through some L. Ron Hubbard Scientology ritual, you're not getting to that place in your heart, and you can't. You never can, because there's no power to do that in any of these other systems of philosophy or psychotherapy or religion. But God can, and He can affect real change and transformation in that place. Biblical Christianity isn't just the best choice, it's the only choice. Because only God knows you. Nobody knows you like Jesus. And that's what you need. You need somebody to... Because, you know, you watch these movies or on TV and they get to the bottom of it. Finally, something comes out and this is the root of it. They took your Jack-in-the-Box and threw it in the field. I can't tell that story again. Somebody else will have to. But I will say this. A marvelous couple in our fellowship bought me a Jack-in-the-Box. It's in my office. I was going to bring it out one day. Maybe I will. One day when I feel down. So now when I feel down, I play my Jack-in-the-Box. It's because my dad threw mine out the window while we were coming from Connecticut to California. It was the playlist of our trip, I thought. It was an early one-song playlist. All right. I think we're done. Following these liars, you're not going to be led to the heavenly city, but to an alternate location, and that is the lake of fire. The Apostle Paul insisted that, and I quote, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Right on the edge of losing it. Our thoughts go to spiritual warfare against the devil and his allies. But Paul clarified what he meant by this. He said, "We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ." Liars and their lies are what we are casting down. It is the doctrine of demons that we are to face, not necessarily demons themselves. We don't do battle with demons. There's angels for that. Mighty angels having a hard time. Gabriel had a hard time in the book of Daniel with the prince of Persia. He had to tap out and ask for Michael to come, who's, what I can tell, he's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of angels. He's Mr. Universe for, you know, umpteen times. And he wrestled with the prince of Persia. So I don't want to do no demon wrestling. I'm not going after any demons. I'm not going to ask anybody what the demon's name is. That's, oh gosh, pop culture. But I'm in far more danger from the doctrine of demons, that everything that's around me that is telling me about a non-biblical worldview, in fact, many non-biblical worldviews that I can choose from, that people somehow think all mean the same thing. At least as Christians, we're willing to say, no, this is it. You're either a Christian or you're not. There's no truth other than Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So many other of these groups are saying, hey, this is great. What you're doing is great too, as long as you believe. No, that's not going to work. You know, all religions, all philosophies, all psychotherapies, they're on a road that leads to God, but it leads to the great white throne judgment, not to heaven. And so we need to be careful about what's around us. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. Psalm 35:20, we're informed that the world around us is inhabited by non-believers who, and I quote, "Do not speak peace. They devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land." Today, this idea illustrates itself. Or maybe I should say it's being illustrated all around us. Violence is now rampant. No matter what stand you take on the current turmoil in the world, Psalm 35:20 summarizes as nobody wants to speak peace. They want to stir up strife and war. And that's the human heart. That's the spirit. That's the place that God needs to get to. And so if you're out there in the world, we are, everybody wants to talk about mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's got opinions. That's fine. Try and preface your talk with something about the gospel, because we need to speak peace. It doesn't really speak peace to win the argument as to whether, you know, we believe the governor is right or wrong. Talk about that all you want. I love it. I listen to it. I think it's a lot of creative criticism. But have you seen the meme where Jerry Seinfeld is, it's a picture of Seinfeld and it says, hello, Newsom. One of my favorites. That's the best thing that's come out of this crisis as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, what you could do is say, well, you know, as a Christian, I have a little bit of a different perspective on this, and then go into what you think. And maybe throw that seed out there, and maybe somebody will say, what do you mean, as a what does Christianity have to do with this? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And construct an answer, because we are for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. We need to talk about the gospel. That's how we promote and support peace. It's a well-worn old saying, but there'll be no peace without the who? Prince of Peace. I mean, you know, it's an old bumper sticker that's faded on some cars and junkyards now, but it's true. No peace until the Prince of Peace. Only peace with God will save our societies. The mythological sirens sang to passing ships. Their songs would mesmerize the sailors, draw them into the rocks upon which they would be dashed and destroyed. Liars' lies are a siren's call seeking to shipwreck your faith. In our case, the sirens aren't confined to one location. Their songs surround us. Their songs are a worldly playlist playing on a continuous loop. It's like elevator music all the time, you know. There's all these different siren calls seeking to lead you astray. Ulysses had his men tie him to the mast and then put wax in their ears. That way they would not be drawn aside. They wouldn't be able to hear his yearnings to draw aside, but he would be able to hear the siren song and live. It got me thinking and wondering if I was tied to some mast, if that's a thing that you can understand. That there's something about the world or in the world, some habit or hobby or some behavior or, you know, whether it's pleasant or sinful, where I've tied myself to the mast and think that I can't be drawn into a shipwreck. Let's at least check ourselves for that, because being shipwrecked is no fun. You can be impervious to liars and lies, verses 3 and 4. Now, you have been tripped up by lies, I'm sure, and you have lied. If you say you haven't lied, you're a liar. And so I've got you. You're not impervious to liars and lies, but you can be to the extent you yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit. As we teach or read God's word, we should concentrate more on who and what we already are. Too much of evangelical Christianity sounds like self-help. There are steps so we can achieve God's goals for us. If you peruse the shelves of a Christian bookstore, it seems like you're on an expedition to summit a spiritual Everest, and you're never quite going to get there unless you have this author's new book that tells you how. The Apostle Paul insisted, and I quote, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then he also noted, "God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ."
Pastor Gene has been serving in the Central Valley of California at Calvary Hanford since 1985. You can find hundreds more Bible studies by visiting our website at calvaryhanford.com. There you'll find video, audio, and transcripts of sermons just like the one you just heard. You can also find links to get Pastor Gene's books at calvaryhanford.com/books. We hope you'll join us next time on Romancing the Saints as we continue to discover that you are the passion of Jesus.